God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Let me ask you to open your Bibles with me this morning to that portion of God's Word where that text is found, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I've been preaching through the book of Psalms these days, and we're talking about faith songs. And down through the ages, the people of God have been sustained by these songs of the faith. Down through the ages, the people of God have been helped in their worshiping and in their praising, and in their praying from the Psalms. And today, specifically, we're talking about faith singing when I'm in trouble. And as I look at the situation in Japan, and as we have prayed for and agonized with the dear people of Japan over the last 2 weeks, I'm just reminded that what we saw on the screen before us is so typical of life, though maybe not that quite dramatic. The fact is that there are times in life when trouble comes and the earth begins to shake beneath our feet, and we don't know if we're going to be able to stand up. There are times when, if that's not enough, that the waves of trouble come rolling over us and surging into our lives and threatening to wash away everything that is near and dear to us. And yet we know that in days like that, there is a God who is with us, and we turn to Him, and we hold to Him. Now, as we have learned in the book of Psalms and in our study of the Psalms, that some of the Psalms have an inscription attached to them, and you will notice that that is the case here in Psalm 46, where the inscription says, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah." Now, the sons of Korah were the music directors for the people of God. They were priests who were appointed specifically for the task of leading in worship. And aren't we thankful for the men and women, musicians, who are here Sunday by Sunday to take us into the presence of God and help us into the presence of God in music. But specifically it says, according to Alamoth. And that little word, Alamoth, there probably means female or a young woman. It likely is a song that was written for a higher range of voice, like a woman singing or a young man singing. And so there is variety in the songs that are found in the book of Psalms. And we're grateful today for these songs of the faith. Songs of the faith that sustain us, that contain for us and carry for us those powerful truths that help us when we're in trouble. And there are some powerful truths here that I want us to cling to today. First of all, there is an admonition and an encouragement to us that we can trust God for His protection over us. In times of trouble, we can trust God for His protection over us. And that's the essence of the first three verses here in Psalm 46. They come in the form of a confession. Just look at it once again in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You know, when I hear that word trouble, I can't help but think about that silly commercial that is playing today on many television networks. It shows a little doggy, who has his bone in his mind, and he is so worried about that bone. And he hides it someplace, and then he goes back to his little doggy bed, and he's fretting and and squirming around and rolling around. He just can't rest. So he goes and finds the bone and he takes it to the bank. And he goes into the bank and there's an officer that lets him into the vault, and he puts his bone into the bank, and the little doggy goes back to his doggy bed, and he still just frets and rolls and turns in his bed. He gets up and he goes and buries it in the backyard, and he goes back to his bed, and he's still so worried about this bone. And by the way, you know, I can't remember what the company is that's advertising. I remember the story, but I, for the life of you, I couldn't tell you who they were advertising. But all along in this advertisement, playing in the background is this song. This guy singing, "Trouble, trouble, trouble, trouble. Been dogging my soul since the day I was born." And you know, that is the way trouble is. It causes us to turn and to toss in our beds. In fact, this word trouble here in verse 1 means distress. And distress comes into our lives as a result of stress. Now, we're all familiar with stress, aren't we? It is our ever-present companion as Americans. We have lives that are loaded with stress, and stress can come in many different ways. We can have stress because of our busy schedules. We can have stress because of our money problems. We can have stress because of our demanding jobs. We can have stress because of the poor health of a loved one. And you see, stress starts in our minds. It starts with thoughts, and then it quickly gives way to emotional things. It's not just that we think about them, that we think about them to the degree that they begin to change our emotions. And that's what stress does to us. It can cause us to feel upset, worried, and fearful. It could cause us to be angry or to be hateful or spiteful toward other people. And what we know is that it doesn't just start with the mind and then move into our emotions, but ultimately it begins to affect our physical bodies. And they tell us today that many of the common illnesses that Americans have today are caused directly by stress in our lives. And not just that, but it can cause us to be irritable. It can keep us awake at night. So stress is a very common problem, and we're grateful to know that there is a way for us. And while we might not be able to escape the problems that cause stress to us, wouldn't you love to know, wouldn't it be great to be able to face your troubles with courage and with confidence that keeps you settled all the way through the distressing times of life? Wouldn't you like to know that? Well, it's found right here, the secret is, right here in these verses. And the first word of this psalm is the most important word in this psalm, and it's the most important word when it comes to handling stress and troubles in our lives. And that word is God. God is our refuge and our strength. In fact, here in this psalm, we're going to see the psalmist taking us back to the person of God over and over and over again. You see, the solution to facing our troubles with courage and with confidence and without fear, the secret to being able to deal successfully with stress in our life, is not some kind of psychological answer. The answer is found directly in our relationship with God. And the psalmist is going to take us to a number of different names of God. Now, you may remember from our study of the names of God several years ago that the names of God are not just titles by which we know Him. The names of God help us to know the character and the personality of God. Every one of those multitude of names give us another aspect of the character of God. And such is the case with this word God. In fact, it is the very first name that is given to our God in the Bible. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth." Now, if you stop to think about it, if all you knew of God was what you learned from Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you would have everything you need to know in dealing with trouble. For the fact is that God created the heavens and the earth, and so there is absolutely nothing that He cannot handle in heaven or on earth. There's nothing in heaven or on the earth that is greater than God because He created it. And there is nothing, no enemy that can emerge from heaven or enemy that can emerge from the earth that can shake God or stop God. And so the knowledge of God is the secret to all of this. God is able to protect us from anything in heaven and on the earth. Now specifically, Psalm 46:1 tells us three things about our God. It tells us, first of all, that He is our refuge. Our refuge. That word means a shelter for the storms and from danger. When I grew up in North Texas, just about every other house had a storm cellar. And we called them Frady holes. That is, if you were afraid, you got into them. If you were really brave, though, it really took a lot of courage to get into those storm cellars. I remember during storms that the women and the children would always go down into the storm cellars. And the men would stand outside, and there was always a car, and they'd have the radio turned on. They'd be standing outside listening to the radio and the weather reports. Now, as a boy, I learned that storm cellars are not the safest place in the world because they stink, and they're filled with spiders and all kinds of other bugs. And I soon learned that the men were really the chickens in this. They didn't want to get down in the storm cellar because they'd rather take their chances with a tornado than the spiders inside the storm cellar. Well, that's not true of our God. He is our shelter. He is the shelter from the storms and the dangers of life. It also says that He's not only our refuge, but He's our strength. He's our power. He's our confidence. And He is also an ever-present help in trouble. That phrase literally means a helper who can be found. You know, there are a lot of people that tell us they're our friends, but when it comes time to needing help, you can't find them. But God is a helper who can be found. He is an ever-present help to us in times of trouble. That's who our God is. So in light of that, verse 2 says, therefore, we will not fear. You see, there's the secret to facing your troubles without fear. Is to know this God who created the heavens and the earth, who is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. What confidence and what courage. He says, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In that video we watched earlier of the terrible scene in Japan on the heels of the earthquake and then the tsunami, people were shrieking in fear. Did you hear that? It haunted me as I heard those people crying out in terror at what they saw unfolding before their eyes. And no doubt that would have been our natural reaction had we been standing at that scene. And yet we know our great God, as powerful as those forces are, is our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid. Now, there's a word here that we have not come across yet in our study of the book of Psalms, and it is found there at the last part of verse 3, the word Selah. Do you see it? It is a word, it is a musical note, it is a musical notation that may have been an indication to the musicians that here is where you stop singing and you listen to the instruments play. Or it may have been that this was a pause or a rest in the musical term. A rest is when the music stops. And so we're encouraged here at the end of this first stanza to pause, to ponder, to think about this. Just do that. Think about our great God, who is our strength, our refuge, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. Now, we can trust God for His protection over us, but also we can trust God for His presence with us. His presence with us. And that's the essence of the next four verses here in this psalm. And it comes to us in the form of an observation. The first stanza was a kind of confession. Here we have an observation. And the psalmist says, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now he has in mind here a place, a place that he can run into the presence of God. But I want you to notice something about this place, that it is sustained by a river, a life-giving river. Now, there's a contrast. In the first few verses, we saw this raging torrent that was surging through, destroying everything in its path. And here in verse 4 is a river. The word literally means a river that has many channels flowing off of it, indicating that the river coursed its way through the city, and everywhere it went, it brought life-giving sustenance. And so there is this place, a holy place, where God dwells with his people. And the psalmist is thinking about the city of Jerusalem. And specifically, he's thinking about the temple, where the people of God would go to worship. But more specifically, where the presence of God was manifested. God chose that his presence and his name would reside, would dwell in Jerusalem. And so this was the place where the people of God dwelt. This was the spiritual address for peace. Do you know this address? Do you visit this address? It is the holy place where the Most High dwells. And here we have yet another name for our great God, the Most High. It is the word Elyon, and it means just that, the highest of all. And that's what God is. He is the highest of all. There is no ruler, there is no dominion, there is no devil, there is no demon that is as high as our great God. He is the Most High. And when you're going through trouble, meditate on that. Now, the psalmist continues to talk about this place of peace here in verse 5, where he says, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. This is what the presence of God with us means to us. Here is this God who dwells among his people. He creates for them a safe place where they are secure because God is with them. Even at the break of day, even when the sun comes up and reveals any ominous or threatening situation out there, they are safe at the break of day. There's a powerful illustration of this in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. You might just want to jot down that reference and go home and read it this afternoon. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. And it may be that that incident is what inspired the psalmist to write Psalm 46, because you're going to see that there are some amazing parallels to it. At this point in Israel's history, Hezekiah is the king over the southern kingdom of Judah. He was one of Judah's good kings because of his great confidence in the Lord. But Judah's great enemy at that time was the Assyrians, and they were under the leadership of their king Sennacherib. And at this point, we learn that the Assyrians, under Sennacherib's leadership, had surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and they were threatening them. And Sennacherib wrote a letter to King Hezekiah and said, "Listen, Hezekiah, there's no sense in trusting God. You need to just surrender, or we're going to come in, we're going to annihilate your city." So what does Hezekiah do? Remember, he is a man of great faith and confidence in the Lord. And he does what any man of faith or woman of faith should do. He took that letter, and it says that he went into the temple, into the presence of God, and he spread it out before the Lord. I love that image. Have you ever tried taking your bills and spreading them out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this"? Take it to the Lord. You take that doctor's report, that diagnosis, and you spread it out before the Lord. You take that ominous bit of news, that email that disturbed your heart, you take it to the Lord and spread it out before him. And Hezekiah prayed. He said, "Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, our God." You see, his motivation was not that they would just get out of trouble. He wanted God to be glorified. He wanted the fame of the Lord to be spread among the nations. Well, the prophet Isaiah comes into the picture here. And he sends word to Hezekiah. And basically, the prophet's words were this: the Lord has everything under control, Hezekiah. You don't have to fear. The king of Assyria will not lay a finger on Jerusalem. God will defend his city, and he will save it. Scripture goes on to tell us that in the night, while the Assyrian army encamped around the city of Jerusalem, that an angel of the Lord passed through the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 of them in one night. The next morning, the inhabitants of Jerusalem got out of bed, walked out of their houses, and looked out onto the countryside, and all they could see, for as far as the eye could see, were the bodies of their enemies. It says they got up in the morning at the break of day. And that's what the psalmist says. The Lord will help her at the break of day. And he goes on to say in verse 6 that nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. There is no nation that can stand up to our God. By the way, the wording there in verse 6 is interesting, because the same things that are happening to the nations that are in uproar and kingdoms falling, those are the same verbs that are used back in verses 2 and 3 to describe the forces of nature. What is he saying? He's saying to us that whether the threat comes to us from nature or whether it comes to us from nations, it doesn't matter. God is ruler over it all. And in our times of trouble, we can trust God for his protection over us and trust God for his presence with us. That's what he says in verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. By the way, there we have two more beautiful names of our great God. First, there is Lord Almighty. Jehovah Saba, Jehovah Saba, the Lord of hosts. It may be the way that your translation reads. That means that the Lord is the captain of all of the armies of heaven, that God is the supreme commander-in-chief of all of the forces of righteousness and good. He was the one who commanded the angel of the Lord to move through the Assyrian camp and to destroy the enemies of the people of God. He is the Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty. But also it says that he is the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob. Jacob is another name for the people of God, Israel. Just think about how we read in the scripture how the Lord, time after time after time, protected and provided for his people, Jacob. And so we see there yet another name, the God of Jacob. So the Lord Almighty and the God of Jacob, the psalmist says, is our fortress. Our fortress. A fortress is a high, secure, safe place. A stronghold. And it is where the people of God may run for safety. By the way, this is one of David's favorite ways of referring to his God. We learned that earlier as the men were singing from Psalm 62, the reminder that God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. It may be that this became a favorite of David's as he was running from Saul for those many years of his life when Saul was continuously chasing him, and David found physical safety in these fortresses, in these high, safe places. But he more than that found safety and security in the spiritual presence of the Lord. And once again, we are instructed to pause here. Selah. Rest. Ponder. By the way, when we talk about the presence of the Lord, in Old Testament terms, the presence of God was focused on a place, Jerusalem. But in New Testament terms, the presence of God is focused on a person, Jesus. He is the one to whom we run. He is our fortress. He is our stronghold and our refuge. And we need to know that in times of trouble, that we run to Jesus. We learn that from the very first days of our relationship with God, when we understand that we are in the greatest trouble of all, and that is we are lost in our sin, and we're under the judgment and the condemnation of God against our sin. What do? We learn that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and he bore in his body our sins. He died for us. And what do? We run to Jesus. We run to him for safety in the shadow of the cross. That's what it means to be saved. And friends, we can talk all day about the presence of God, but you will never know it if you do not know Jesus. Put your trust in him. Run to Jesus for rescue and for safety. So we can trust God for his protection over us. We can trust God for his presence with us. But this psalm reminds us also that we can trust God for his power toward us. That's the essence of the last four verses there. They come in the form of an invitation. An invitation. Verse 8, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Ponder, consider, think on the works of the Lord. Do you do that? Do you take time to ponder in nature and ponder in history as it's recorded in Scripture, the mighty works of the Lord? They serve for us as a frame of reference as we think about anything that we may face in life. We consider, we come and see the works of the Lord. There we have yet another name for our great God, the word, the Lord, Jehovah. It is the proper name for the one true God. He goes on to say in verse 9, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. In other words, there is no weapon known to man that can outdo God, that can overcome God. He is supreme. He is all-powerful toward us. Now, up to this point, this is the psalmist speaking. Obviously, it's all the word of God, but up to this point, it is the admonition and the instruction and the confession of the psalmist. But we come to verse 10, and the Lord speaks. He speaks with words that are familiar to us. He speaks with words that we have heard often, maybe have committed to memory. But maybe you've never thought about or studied the context in which this powerful verse comes. It says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So here is this picture of everything shaking in nature, and everything shaking among nations, and everything swirling around us, trouble on every hand. And then the Lord speaks, and he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Now that's an un-American activity, isn't it? We don't know how to do this. It's not our instinct. It's not our nature. Because our intention oftentimes is to fright, to flee, and to fight, and to fret over the things that we see happening among us. But it says, be still. The New American Standard Bible says, cease striving. Another translation says, stop your fighting. And what a word that is to us when we face troubles. That's our instinct, isn't it? To fret and to fuss and to strive and to fight. And God says, don't do that. Be still. Be still. But it's not just being still. It's the engagement of your mind. He says, be still and know something. That word know is a powerful word. It means intimate knowledge. It means intimate interaction. Know that I am God. You need to know that above everything else. Know that I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, ponder and think and consider the supremacy of our God. Friends, it's only as you and I are lost in that, that all of our troubles come into perspective. And you will never be overwhelmed with the greatness of God until you can carve time out of your hectic, busy, overcommitted schedule and turn off the television, turn off your laptop and your smartphone and be still and commune with your mighty God and know that He is God and that He will be exalted. It doesn't matter what this world hurls at us. It doesn't matter what comes to us from nations or nature. God will be exalted. Verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Pause. One of the most important figures in church history is a man by the name of Martin Luther. If you don't know anything about Martin Luther, you need to study this man. He's an amazing figure in history, in church history. He was a young man who at the age of 24 became a Catholic priest. 5 years later, he received his doctorate. He was a brilliant man. He translated the Bible into his native German language. He wrote 37 great hymns for the church. But he's most noted for the conflict that he had with the Roman church. There were several things that bothered him because he felt that they were in error doctrinally and biblically. He had a problem with the supremacy of the Pope. He spoke out against something called indulgences and a kind of tax. He taught that everyone should read the Bible, not just priests. And he believed that everyone should sing in church services, not just the priest. But his great contention went deeper than that. He had some severe conflict in his spirit about some of the doctrines of the church, and all of this got him into hot water with the Catholic Church. It led to ultimately his writing a thesis with 95 points on it that he nailed to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he outlined all of his points of contention. And this led to a great protest, the Protestant Reformation. That's where we get the word Protestant. Martin Luther was a key figure in that. Well, the Pope issued an order that Luther was to be excommunicated. And he was brought in before trial at Worms. Luther was commanded by the Roman emperor that he was to retract his convictions and all of the things that he believed to be true. And Luther's response shook the world and even to this day continues to shake the world. He said, unless I am convinced by Scripture or by clear reasoning that I am in error, for popes and councils have often erred and contradicted themselves, I cannot recant. For I am subject to the Scriptures I have quoted. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. It is unsafe and dangerous to do anything against one's conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. So help me God. Amen. Well, for the next several years, Martin Luther and his followers were constantly harassed. They were dragged into one trial after another. And it was on the eve of one of those trials, one of those bitter court battles in 1529, that Martin Luther sat down and wrote one of those 37 hymns. We have great evidence that as Martin Luther wrote this hymn, he had before him Psalm 46, the psalm we've been studying today. The song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth. Jehovah Saba is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word, above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And the church said, amen and amen. God truly is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble.